Today's December 8th. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you. Kind of getting in the thick of the season now. I guess we're not right smack in the thick of it, but it's full blown. I pulled out my own Christmas music, popped it in my little player, and cleaned my bedroom with Ezekiel laying there watching me and smiling and encouraging me on and saying, you can fold that shirt, Dad. You can do it. So I think for me, it's totally Christmas season. So we're reading from the Passages Bible this week. We're at the close of a week, so we'll read something new tomorrow. But we're reading from the Passages Bible today. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1 through 14, verse 9. Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. As his fruit increased, he built more altars. As his land prospers, he adorned his sacred stones. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. Then they will say, "We have no king because we did not revere the Lord. But even if we had a king, what could he do for us?" They make many promises, take false oaths, and make agreements. Therefore, lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. The people who live in Samaria fear for the calf idol of Beth-Aven. Its people will mourn over it, and so will its idolatrous priests. Those who had rejoiced over its splendor because it is taken from them into exile. It will be carried to Assyria as tribute for the great king. Ephraim will be disgraced. Israel will be ashamed of its foreign alliances. Samaria's king will be destroyed, swept away like a twig on the surface of the waters. The high places of wickedness will be destroyed. It is the sin of Israel. Thorns and thistles will grow up and cover their altars. Then they will say to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall on us." Since the days of Gibeah, you have sinned, Israel, and there you have remained. Will not war again overtake the evildoers in Gibeah? When I please, I will punish them. Nations will be gathered against them to put them in bonds for their double sin. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. So I will put a yoke on her fair neck. I will drive Ephraim. Judah must plow, and Jacob must break up the ground. Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. But you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors. The roar of battle will rise against your people so that all your fortresses will be devastated, as Shalman devastated Beth Arbel on the day of battle. When mothers were dashed to the ground with their children, so will it happen to you, Bethel, because your wickedness is great. When that day dawns, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? A sword will flash in their cities. It will devour their false prophets and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even though they call me God Most High, I will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboiim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come from Egypt, trembling like sparrows, from Assyria, fluttering like doves. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, Israel with deceit, and Judah is unruly against God, even against the faithful Holy One. Ephraim feeds on the wind. He pursues the east wind all day and multiplies lies and violence. He makes a treaty with Assyria and sends olive oil to Egypt. The Lord has a charge to bring against Judah. He will punish Jacob according to his ways and repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel. As a man, he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name. But you must return to your God. Maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. The merchant uses dishonest scales and loves to defraud. Ephraim boasts, I am very rich. I have become wealthy. With all my wealth, they will not find in me any iniquity or sin. I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. I will make you live in tents again, as in the days of your appointed festivals. I spoke to the prophets, gave them many visions, and told parables through them. Is Gilead wicked? Its people are worthless. Do they sacrifice bulls in Gilgal? Their altars will be like piles of stones on a plowed field. Jacob fled to the country of Aram. Israel served to get a wife, and to pay for her, he tended sheep. The Lord used a prophet to bring Israel up from Egypt. By a prophet, he cared for him. But Ephraim has aroused his bitter anger. His Lord will leave on him the guilt of his bloodshed and will repay him for his contempt. When Ephraim spoke, people trembled. He was exalted in Israel, but he became guilty of Baal worship and died. Now they sin more and more. They make idols for themselves from their silver, cleverly fashioned images, all of them the work of craftsmen. It is said of these people, they offer human sacrifices. They kiss calf idols. Therefore, they will be like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears, like chaff swirling from a threshing floor, like smoke escaping through a window. But I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud, and they forgot me. So I will be like a lion to them. Like a leopard, I will lurk by the path. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them apart. You are destroyed, Israel, because you are against me, against your helper. Where is your king that he may save you? Where are your rulers in all your towns, of whom you said, give me a king and princes? So in my anger I gave you a king, and in my wrath I took him away. The guilt of Ephraim is stored up. His sins are kept on record. Pains, as of a woman in childbirth, come to him, but he is a child without wisdom. When the time arrives, he doesn't have the sense to come out of the womb. I will deliver this people from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? I will have no compassion, even though he thrives among his brothers. An east wind from the Lord will come, blowing in from the desert. His spring will fail, and his well dry up. His storehouses will be plundered of all its treasures. The people of Samaria must bear their guilt, because they have rebelled against their God. They will fall by the sword. Their little ones will be dashed to the ground, their pregnant women ripped open. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade. They will flourish like the grain. They will blossom like the vine. Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. So there are two books left in the New Testament. One of them we will read in its entirety today, a letter. And then we will spend the rest of our year reading from the book of Revelation, the final book of the New Testament, the last book of the Bible, the end of the story. The epistle or letter of Jude is just 25 verses long, yet it packs a very direct, very succinct punch. We don't really know a whole lot about Jude's background and his life. We do know that he was the half-brother of Jesus and the brother of James, neither of whom believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, during his earthly ministry. But his resurrection from the dead seems to have changed their viewpoints considerably and understandably. We don't know exactly who Jude wrote this letter to, other than that we know he wrote it to Christians. He wrote it to vigorously combat a false doctrine that was going through the church, that basically said that the grace of God through Jesus gives us license to do whatever we want to do. And so some people were misbehaving in all sorts of inappropriate ways. Jude hits this head on and directly as false doctrine and challenges believers to contend for their faith. These are very good words as we turn the corner and head into the final chapters of the Bible. For the life of faith is something, if we haven't figured it out by now, and I'm sure we have, but the life of faith is something we must vigilantly and ever presently contend for. It's the book of Jude. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord, at one time, delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the Archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These people are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, "In the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires." These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Psalm 127, A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Proverbs 29:15-17. A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. When the wicked thrive, so does sin, but the righteous will see their downfall. Discipline your children and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. I can't help but pay attention to Psalm 127, at least for my own life. That scripture was a guiding scripture that I was like reciting in my head most every day when the Daily Audio Bible was being formed. It was a scripture that I was reciting in my head every day before the Daily Audio Bible was being formed, as I was trying to find out what was happening in my own life, as I was seeking the truth of scripture and where it was leading me to. And it has remained, along with 1 Peter 5:8, fundamental and guiding stars in my life that I attempt to never forget, and that we should never forget. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. I mean, we can run from this to that. We can burn the midnight oil and watch the sun come up. I've done all these things, and we do them all in pursuit of what we don't know. Just that elusive satisfaction, that hole, that emptiness. I mean, we might set short-term goals that allow us to have this kind of sense of movement and accomplishment. But ultimately, we're chasing this emptiness. And I mean, I bottomed out personally in my own life. And it was kind of from that place, from just that kind of putty, that emptiness, that being done with me, being done with my own self. And it wasn't this, I throw up my hands in the air and I realize I can't do anything, because that wasn't the case in my life. I had already been successful. I was kind of at the end of my rope because I had accomplished what I set out to do. And it still wasn't enough. But I was coming to this place that was the end of myself. And of course, the book of Jude talks about contending for the faith. And so finding the end of yourself in desperation is one thing. Trying to remain at the end of yourself, kind of on the bleeding edge of where you end, and faith begins, and the brilliance and amazing sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ begins, that bright light right at the end of who we are. That's something to be contended for daily. But unless the Lord builds the house, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There is no construct that will bring us life in and of ourselves. There is nothing that we can do. It doesn't matter the amount of money. It doesn't matter the amount of security. It doesn't matter the amount of pleasure. It doesn't matter. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless God is involved, unless God is constructing who we are. And sometimes that means we have to brick by brick disassemble every construct that we've created. Sometimes kingdoms have to fall. I'm that guy. So I know that. I'm that guy that built his kingdom. And there was no way. There was no way I was going to let that fall. And just kind of go, okay, well, everything can be demolished. I just want Jesus. It all had to just kind of crumble down over time with dissatisfaction and an unsettled feeling that there had to be more. I know I'm not alone. And I know it's different for everybody. But it doesn't matter how you get there. Everybody has to get to the same place. Jesus isn't an add-on. He's not a plug-in. He's not a supercell. He doesn't just be added to what we're already doing to supercharge it. We don't just plug Jesus in and all of a sudden everything that we're about is turbocharged. It doesn't work that way. Everything that we were about and are about without him really has to go. Brick by brick, torn down. And bulldozed away. Gone. because it doesn't matter. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. So Jesus, we come before you and acknowledge this, and we know this intuitively, deep inside. We know this inside our spirit. It's hard to get there. We don't want any of the discomfort or the hardship that it takes to arrive at that place. And so often it suddenly comes upon us through calamity or hardship, and we turn to you because everything's been leveled. And it's a sorry place to have to get instantly rather than willfully. But we get there one way or the other, and we allow you to rebuild. And we go walking along in life, and you are building who we are, and we are walking with you. And then for some reason, one day we look at the house and decide we need an addition. And so in our own strength, we try to start adding on again. And we start to try to rebuild what was already torn down. The things that were hurting us, the things that were even killing us, we try to replace, looking for life outside of you. And we're so sorry. And we can't do this, because we're always going to sort for that. We're always going to look for what's quick and easy. We're always going to try to find fulfillment wherever we can find it. And whatever looks like life, we just go after the blinking lights. And we're so sorry that we turn away. We're so sorry that this is the story of mankind. It seems to be blurted out of every page of Scripture. And yet you are so kind, and you are so patient, and you are so loving, that you walk along and wait. You are so gracious, you are so merciful, that you're there for us when we turn. Don't understand that kind of grace and mercy, because it's not the kind of grace and mercy that I can offer. I don't have that within myself. But you do. And it's miraculous, and it's glorious, and it's worthy of every ounce of energy and praise within our bodies. And so we give gratitude and thanks to you for coming for us. And yes, Jesus, we give you permission. Reveal to us the things that need to go, the things that we've been building that don't belong. Unless you build the house, it's all in vain. We only want what you've built in us. Come, Jesus, we pray. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com. That's the website, and that's where you go to dive into community. We're doing a bunch of housekeeping around the website, reworking a bunch of things for the new year, so pardon our dust, although everything should work, and it's just kind of changing day by day, little things, just touch-ups, you know. Just, you get in there after a couple years and you go, you know what, things have changed around here a little bit, we need to tweak, we need to fix and polish, we need to sweep and dust. And so that's what we've been doing, preparing for the new year. Well, you're at the dailyaudiobible.com website. You'll find that the store is there. And I've been talking about the store more than usual. That's because it's Christmas time. And people go to stores more than they normally do. And we have a number of just really excellent opportunities and ideas. Our apparel line finally is, like, I feel like it's excellent. Like, really excellent. We have unbelievably great quality garments. And so excellent stuff. I am drinking. I just got this. We had everything sent to the store in Colorado. And Sarah Jane sent me back some of these brand new. They're red and they're like coffee flasks. It is killer. I'm drinking some Wind Farm coffee from my Daily Audio Bible coffee flask right now. And it has kept my coffee hot. I love it. It's like my favorite one we've ever made. It actually is my favorite one we've ever made. Those are on the store. As well as the Daily Audio Bible gift box for 2012. We've been talking about the passages and passages study guide. Great for group study. Getting a bunch of friends together. going through passages in the Passages Study Guide as you move toward the new year, because it's a compelling reason. I mean, it gives compelling reasons and a desire for the Word of God. So if you're a pastor or Sunday school teacher, if you lead a life or community group, if you lead a Bible study at work, we've created a bulk pricing so that you can get these really reasonably. You can buy them in a lot of 12 or 24 or a full case of 44 and just give them away, and we'll give you the equivalent amount of study guides for free. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible here as we approach the end of the year, thank you. Thank you from all of us here, and from the bottom of my heart. Jill and I thank you deeply from the bottom of our heart for your partnership in this year. The website's the place to go. There's a link on the homepage. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. That's it for today. I love you. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. I called back on November 6th on my birthday, wishing for a job. Well, I got a job opportunity, but I flunked my physical because I found out one of my eyes needs glasses. It's another truck job, 3 days home and 4 days out. I keep feeling like God don't want me in the trucking industry, but I keep going back into it. And I did take a little test yesterday on my personality to fit my career choices. I know graphic arts would be one of them, and designing. I also wanted to go to the hospital information technology, but they told me it's a 2-year program and you have to be full-time. And you can't basically, that's you got to focus on for 2 years, full-time school for 2 years. Well, I'm 47 years old, so it's like I need to work too. I need a way to, you know, jump off of something to get there. I was thinking about going online to School of Liberty University and doing their health information technology. That's a bachelor's. But I also know that I'm good with art, music, and photography, and I like the digital media. I'm very attracted to that. I like performing art, too, because I've done that. And I'm not sure if I should take my talents and gifts and hobbies and things I love and make them into income. It's like, how do you know where God wants you to be in your life? You know, does he want you to take those hobbies and gifts and make them into income? So, could you pray with me on...
Hi, DAB family. It's Nathan NY. I just want to call to help Portia. Glad to have you back. Glad to hear from you. And that I pray that your musical just comes to fruition, and that it just brings glory to God and has a bigger and bigger and bigger stage, and is formed on bigger and bigger and bigger stage than you can even imagine or hope for. Because the feeling of your imagination is just the bouncing point for where God wants to take this musical in your dreams. So I'm praying for that for you. And I just want to say, Viola, you are awesome, and you just bring a smile to my face. And I want a prayer request for my mother, just that she is blessed. And a prayer request for the same for my grandmother and a great-grandmother, that they are blessed, and just worship God more and more and more in everything that they do. Truly, they're a woman of God and who have just been there for me my whole life and inspired me. And I just want to I just want to thank God and praise God for them, really, to be honest. I love you, DAB family. I am so pumped up that next year The word next year is rhythm. And I just think God is good. Okay, my family, love you.
Hi, my name is Ken Ford from Pensacola, Florida. And first, I just want to say how much I enjoy and appreciate all the prayers of those out there, and to hear the praises and each other praying for one another. And I know that's a blessing to y'all, as it has been for me. And so I would also like to offer up a couple prayers. For one is my Aunt Debbie Forbes, and a good friend of mine, Wayne Cavalier. They are both believers, both struggling with cancer right now. And I would just ask that you would lift them up for their healing. But just God's will in their life and the ones that are around them, and how he can use this time in their life to his glory. And so I appreciate you doing that, and I will continue to pray as well for you all. God bless you all, and thank you very much.
Hey, family, neighbors. I just want to also thank Brian, Jill, Ezekiel, Max, and China, just for allowing yourself to be used and be a blessing to the rest of us. Brian, that was an awesome word today about Daniel and the lion. And it's just awesome, this whole shift and new and orientation, just a reminder of who we are, how Jesus sees us. Because, yeah, there are lions, and there are people who want to put us in the den with the lion, and it's constant, and we see it. But you know what? We're children of God. That is awesome. I'm really pumped up, because it's like, no matter what you throw at us, direct to us, we got God on our side. So we're always going to be worshiping him. I'm amazed. I'm amazed. And I'm going to, okay, hallelujah. Love you, family.
Hello, Daily Yellow Bible family. This is Daniel. I called a time before and been listening for a couple of months, and I got wind of Daily Auto Bible through my friend Kevin, who introduced me and my wife to it. Him and his wife have been a blessing to our life. I just want to say, Mary, I understand what you're going through. I'm going through the same thing, but I pray God speak peace into your life, into your circumstances, to not to be agitated or frustrated, or but just give you peace and knowing that he will provide. I feel that faith is a now thing, is also the hope, but have faith now, you know, and have the peace that he will lead you by the still waters. Roger, I know that God is going to work something out in your life. I feel that God can restore your kidney. There's not a limit to God. If Jesus, through him, was God in the flesh and grew back limbs, he can do the same for you. So I just wanted to send out prayer requests. I'm going through the same thing. As you know, I'm looking for full-time work. God has still been providing for me and my wife, and I'm so grateful for that. Just pray that God just heal my wife's body so we can be able to bear kids. And I'm praying for direction for, like you said, a job, and also to be able to, for direction for starting a business. I desire to use my gift of music to do his will. So I pray that he make way. I'm also praying for sending prayers for my brother Steve. Thank you.